Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Today is Christmas Day, December 25th, 2010. It will go down as Bloody Christmas. Bombings have occurred all over the world. And on top of that, one of the agencies deeply entrenched in creating chaos and pain throughout the world, the Central Intelligence Agency of the American USSR, has now been called into question due to a court case which we mentioned in the news yesterday. The 7-year effort by the Central Intelligence Agency to hide its relationship with a Swiss family who once acted as moles inside the world's most successful atomic black market hit a turning point on Thursday when a Swiss magistrate recommended charging the men with trafficking in technology and information for making nuclear arms. The prospect of a prosecution and a public trial threatens to expose some of the CIA's deepest secrets if defense lawyers try to protect their clients by revealing how they operated on the agency's behalf. But that's not all. It could also tarnish what the Bush administration once hailed as a resounding victory in breaking up the nuclear arms network by laying bare how much of it remained intact. It's like a puzzle, Andreas Mueller, the Swiss magistrate, said at a news conference in Bern on Thursday. If you put the puzzle together, you get the whole picture. The three men accused, Frederick Tenner and his two sons, Urs and Marco, helped run the atomic smuggling ring of A.Q. Khan, an architect of Pakistan's nuclear bomb program, officials in several countries have said. In return for millions of dollars, according to former Bush administration officials, the Tenners secretly worked for the CIA as well, not only providing information about the Khan network's manufacturing and sales efforts, which stretched from Iran to Libya to North Korea, but also helping the agency introduce flaws into the equipment sent to some of these countries. The Bush administration went to extraordinary lengths to protect the men from prosecution, even persuading the Swiss authorities to destroy equipment and information found on their computers and in their homes and businesses, actions that may now imperil efforts to prosecute them. While it has been clear since 2008 that the Tenners acted as American spies, the announcement by the Swiss magistrate on Thursday, recommending their prosecution for nuclear smuggling, is a turning point in the investigation. A trial would bring to the fore a case that Pakistan has insisted is closed. Prosecuting the case could also expose in court a tale of CIA break-ins in Switzerland and of a still unexplained decision by the agency not to seize electronic copies of a number of nuclear bomb designs found on the computers of the Tenner family. One of those blueprints came from an early Chinese atomic bomb. Two more advanced designs were from Pakistan's program, investigators from several countries have said. Ultimately, copies of those blueprints were found around the globe on the computers of members of the Khan network, leading investigators to suspect that they made their way to Iran, North Korea, and perhaps other countries. In 2003, atomic investigators found one of the atomic blueprints in Libya and brought it back to the United States for safekeeping. Well, you really have to ask yourself, how stupid is the CIA to continue to get involved in situations like this? Well, I mean, what in the world were they doing working with these engineers in Switzerland in giving any atomic information, whether it's quasi-real or quasi-bad, to people in Pakistan, North Korea, etc.? And you'd think that they would know better than that. The CIA is responsible for the development of the Taliban itself. They paid for the Taliban's creation. They paid Osama bin Laden to bring weapons to the Taliban and to sell them to the Taliban. They're responsible for all these chaotic things that have happened in the Middle East. And it's an agency that is just so crazy that it probably needs to be disbanded. Ultimately, copies of these blueprints associated with the CIA were found around the globe on the computers of members of the Khan network, leading investigators to suspect they made their way to Iran, North Korea, and perhaps other larger countries. In 2003, atomic investigators found one of the atomic blueprints in Libya. So you see, these countries, Iran, North Korea, and Libya, as well as other countries, actually received this information, some of which was quite useful. Now, they can talk about how they planted false information within the information all they want, but even false information has its uses. Mr. Mueller, the Swiss magistrate, investigated the Tenor case for nearly 2 years. He said Thursday that his 174-page report recommended that the three men face charges for supporting the development of atomic weapons in violation of Swiss law. They are accused of supplying Mr. Khan's operation with technology used to make centrifuges, the machines that purify uranium into fuel for bombs and reactors. Dr. Khan then sold their centrifuges to Libya, Iran, and North Korea. Mr. Mueller's recommendation comes as a new book describes previously unknown details of the CIA's secret relationship with the Tenors, which appears to have started around 2000. The book, entitled Fallout by Catherine Collins and Douglas France, scheduled to be published next month, tells how the CIA sent the men coded instructions, spied on their family, tried to buy their silence, and ultimately had the Bush administration press Switzerland to destroy evidence in an effort to keep the Tenors from being indicted and testifying in open court. Oh, my goodness. You know, the more I read about the CIA, the funnier it becomes. Now, here we have this buffoon of an agency constantly getting involved in things it shouldn't be involved in, planting information with the Tenors. I suppose, originally thinking, well, maybe we'll get them arrested and it'll look like we're doing something. Well, then it went further than that, and they continued to give them information until finally they had to ask the Swiss not to prosecute them for delivering a classified information on nuclear weaponry. You have to ask yourself, why would the Swiss be working with the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States? You know, the Central Intelligence Agency and other agencies in America have been working against Switzerland for years, trying to force Switzerland to reveal the names of people who have been placing secret accounts there to hide their taxable dollars. Why would Switzerland want to work with an organization that is so traitorous to Switzerland as the CIA? It just really makes you wonder about things. Ms. Collins is a freelance writer and investigator, and her husband, Mr. France, is a former investigator and editor for the New York Times and a former managing editor of the Los Angeles Times. He recently works on the staff of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. You have to ask yourself, why would these people, like Collins and Franz, working for the New York Times and Los Angeles Times, be working on the staff of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee? Isn't that a little bit close? You have these two people, freelance writers and investigators, who are former investigating editors for the New York Times and former managing editors of the Los Angeles Times, and currently working on the staff of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. printing a book called Fallout. What happened to the independence of the press? This is just crazy. The CIA has never commented on its relationship with the Tenors, but the story has leaked out in bits and pieces after news reports of Dr. Khan's illicit atomic sales forced Pakistan's government to expose the atomic ring and place Dr. Khan under house arrest. But Pakistan never allowed him to be interrogated by the CIA or international nuclear inspectors, perhaps out of fear that he would implicate other Pakistani senior officials. What a wicked web we weave. What a really wicked web we weave. It just gets more and more complex, doesn't it? As a result, there has never been a full accounting of his activities, Dr. Khan's. Few of his associates have been tried or jailed, and there are strong indications that some of his suppliers are still operating. But if the Pakistanis were worried about revelations surrounding Dr. Khan and whom he might have worked with in the Pakistani military and political hierarchy, the CIA was more worried about the Tenors. The new book, Fallout, says the Bush administration grew so alarmed at possible disclosures of CIA links to the family that in 2006, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice lobbied Swiss officials to drop their investigation. You see, you just get so involved, and then pretty soon it pulls you down into the dirt. Oh, it's just great. The news is just totally incredible these days. Speaking of the wicked web that we weave, let's take a look at the WikiLeaks situation. WikiLeaks will release top secret American files concerning Israel in the next 6 months. At least its founder, Julian Assange, has disclosed that. And in an exclusive interview with Al Jazeera, Assange said only a meager number of files related to Israel had been published so far. Can you guess why? Why would there be so few related to Israel published so far? I'll tell you why. Because the newspapers in the West are Judeo-Bolshevik newspapers. They're a part of the satanic Rothschild empire of banks, which owns these newspapers and has financed the purchase of them so that the Judeo-Bolsheviks can run them and keep everyone blinded as to what Israel is doing, which is why they want to own these newspapers. These newspapers in the West that were given these exclusive rights to publish the secret documents on Israel are naturally reluctant to publish many sensitive information and materials about Israel. There are 3,700 files related to Israel in the WikiLeaks files, and the source of 2,700 files is inside of Israel. In the next 6 months, we intend to publish more files depending on our sources, said Assange in the early one-hour interview telecast live from the UK. So there you have it, just like I've told you. The United States is ill-served by Israelis and dual citizens who are associated with Israel owning these newspapers in America. How in the world can you and I ever hope to have good information about what's going on in the world of sabotage, in the world of intelligence, when our newspapers are beholden to Israel? Our newspapers are owned by the Judeo-Bolsheviks, just as Israel is owned by the Judeo-Bolsheviks. These are the satanic Rothschild Judeo-Bolsheviks who have been involved in one murder after another in the last 200 years, from the French Revolution and the American Revolution, all the way up to the beginning of the Soviet Union and the 65 million people murdered there. and the millions of people that have been murdered in the Middle East since Israel placed its ugly head there. We really have to take care of this situation in America. We have to remove the Rothschild banking industry from this country. And we have to remove the Israeli ownership of our newspapers so that our people, people beholden not to Israel but to America, will be solely in charge of our news, so that our news can inform us of things that really pertain to our security. Because the present situation is definitely anathema to our national security, because our newspapers are owned by traitors who live within the gates of our nation. And that has to be ended. And until it is, America will be living in complete danger. Let me put it this way. The Judeo-Bolsheviks run our banks, Goldman Sachs, etc. And one of these Judeo-Bolsheviks, who's a member of that group, is Bernanke, who told the Senate and the House, we're not going to tell you where we gave the money. We're private. We don't have to tell you. We're not going to tell you where the money went. And then it turns out, a few weeks ago, it was published that the money went to Rothschild banks all over the world. And when they took the money, they said, we will use this money to take care of foreclosures, etc., and try to clean all of this up so that we don't have to foreclose on people. And these lying Bolsheviks in New York who run these banks didn't do a damn thing to stop foreclosures. In fact, they sped them up. They sped them up. And then they began to charge people more and more for their credit cards, etc., doing whatever they could to get their slimy Judeo-Bolshevik hands on everybody's money, including upping the fines for somebody mistakenly overcharging their credit card. I mean, when you overcharge your credit card, they were giving you free credit and charging you $34, $35 for having done that. They didn't ask you if they could do it. They decided they were going to do it as a profit motive. And they've been doing that for decades. Seems to me that, you know, I've had bounced credit cards 20 years ago where they were charging me $20, $30, $40 simply because I didn't understand that I was being close to overdrawn. And then these buzzards, these mafia people, these Judeo-Bolsheviks in these banks in New York, also made it so that they would, first of all, pay the smallest amounts last and the largest amounts first, so that they would have more and more of these small amounts that they could charge you $34 on. Because these are thieves. These are mafia people. These are Jewish mafia people who run these banks. That's why they're associated with money. They got into these banks, many of them, because in their mafia dealings with the drug companies, they needed to have their fingers into the bank so they could control their money and they could launder it so that it wouldn't appear to the FBI or to anyone else that drug money had anything to do with drugs. Because if that happened and it came out, then these people would be prosecuted. The same way that the booze mafia during Prohibition were prosecuted, not for killing people, but for their back taxes. And so they got control of the banks, these mafia people, for their drug trade and whatever other trade they had that was illicit, so they could hide what they were depositing in their own banks. And since it was their banks, it made it very, very easy for them to hide it. All they had to do is be dishonest about it. They could deposit things there, but not really allow it to be known exactly where it came from, etc., 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 so it would become almost impossible for the FBI or anyone else to discover what these folks were doing. Nor would the FBI want to disclose who was doing it, because the FBI has been penetrated by so many Jewish Bolshevik spies that the FBI is just, it's like Swiss cheese, it's riddled with them. They're constantly spying on the FBI and telling their buddies in the banks what the FBI is doing, so they know even before the FBI comes to the bank what they're going to be looking for so that they can trash the files and make sure that they can't be found. This is a part of the lack of wisdom that we have in allowing a mafia-ridden, Bolshevik-ridden people to operate openly and privately within the United States of America. These are the people who, when operating openly, decided that they would give our atomic secrets to the Soviet Union, which was a Jewish Soviet Union, and these people ran it. These Judeo-Bolsheviks, what else do you think they ran? Well, they ran the mafia. They ran drugs. They run all of these things. So why would we allow them to operate openly? Are they fair to the non-Jews? Let's take a look. Since the Jews took over Harvard and Harvard's law school, Harvard's medical school, look at the number of people who were admitted to that school. A large plurality, if not majority, of the people going into those schools through admissions programs are Jewish people. Now, the Jews will tell you, well, they get in because they're smarter than anybody else. Well, that's just not true. That's just not true. The reason they have control of these schools is so that their students will get in. The same way that when the whites owned those schools, the Protestants who started Harvard, when they owned the schools, their children got in. Now that the Jews own it, their children are getting in. But there's a difference. When these white people ran it, they were a part of the majority of Massachusetts and these other states where these colleges were located. They were the majority, so of course you'd expect the majority to have the majority of seats in the medical schools and in the law schools so that these lawyers and doctors would represent the majority. Now they represent a minuscule minority of 2 or 3% who are Jewish, who are Judeo-Bolsheviks. And that is unethical as it gets. That is just as unethical as it gets. To use influence to make minorities sweep through these colleges as the majority of the graduates. This is wickedness of the highest order, and it needs to be addressed and stopped. These people need to be fired from these positions. I think most of them need to be deported. They could go to Israel, and they could do all of that there where the majority of the people are Jewish. Then there wouldn't be any problem. But to come to a country where they're like 2% of the country, and then make it so that more than 50% of the people in medical schools are Jewish? No. That's discrimination against the majority, and it's exploitation of our people to the max. It's unethical. And under law, I believe it's illegal. It's a denial of the civil rights and of equal rights for all people. Because when a minority of 1 or 2% or 3% takes the majority of the positions in a medical school, then the civil rights of the vast majority has been violated. And that's illegal. These satanic Rothschild Judeo-Bolsheviks who are running America now did the same thing in Russia, and recent research and investigation corroborates the account provided years ago by Robert Wilton, correspondent of the London Times in Russia for 17 years. As I reported yesterday, his account, The Last Days of the Romanovs, originally published in 1920, and recently reissued by the Institute for Historical Review, is based in large part on the findings of a detailed investigation carried out in 1919 by Nikolai Sokolov under the authority of white anti-communist leader Alexander Kolchak. Wilton's book remains one of the most accurate and complete accounts of the murder of Russia's imperial family. And during this time, as the Bolsheviks from New York, who took over Russia and ran it, like the dictators that they are, and like the dictators they are here in the banking situation in America, and whenever they take over something like Harvard University or Princeton or any other university, and they pack the medical and business schools and law schools with Jews to the unfairness of everyone else in the society and to their detriment and to their harm, Well, you get the same thing as you had in the Soviet Union when they ran it. Because these people are vicious, they're hateful, and they don't care about you or me. They only care about themselves. A solid understanding of history has long been the best guide. At least I've always thought that to be true. The best guide to comprehending the present and anticipating the future. Accordingly, people are most interested in historical questions during times of crisis, when the future seems almost uncertain. With the collapse of communist rule in the Soviet Union in 1989 and 1991, and as the Russians themselves struggled to build a new order on the ruins of the old, these historical issues of the Judeo-Bolsheviks and their viciousness and their hatred for the Russians have become very topical. For example, many asked, how did the Bolsheviks, a small movement guided by the teachings of German-Jewish social philosopher Karl Marx, succeed in taking control of Russia and imposing a cruel and despotic regime on its people? In recent years, Jews around the world have been voicing anxious concern over the specter of what they call anti-Semitism in the lands of the former Soviet Union. In other words, the Jews who played havoc with the Soviet Union, when people are complaining what the Jews did to them, the murders of vast millions of people, they have the audacity to point at people and say, you're being anti-Semitic by mentioning these facts. Well, I'm sorry, but you Jews have been anti-Russian and anti-humanitarian by being vicious killers who ran the Soviet Union and killing these Christians who lived there. You weren't killing the Jews, you were killing the Christians. And when Stalin started killing you because of what you were doing, you didn't like that at all. Then you called him an anti-Semite, even though he's married to three Jewish women. In this new and uncertain era, we are told, suppressed feelings of hatred and rage against Jews are once again being expressed. You know, you Jewish people, you know, you're, first of all, you're not Jewish, you're fake Jews. Most of you are atheists. You don't care about God whatsoever. You are satanic, atheistical Judeo-Bolsheviks. You came out of Mongolia. You settled south of Russia and north of Turkey, and to avoid war, you artificially and falsely decided you'd become Jewish to avoid war between Russia and Turkey. And you've never been really Jewish. You're Mongols. If you want to go back home, you wouldn't go to Israel. You'd go to Mongolia, where you came from. If the Turks wanted to go back home, they'd have to go to Mongolia, too. But you like to lie and say that you're a Jew, but you're not. You're not. You're a fake Jew. According to one public opinion survey conducted in 1991, for example, most Russians wanted all Jews to leave the country, and I don't blame them. I'd like to see them leave the United States. I think they've done too much damage here to our nation. First of all, they took our money from here to Petrograd with Trotsky, our banking money, and they used it to start this vicious anti-Russian, anti-European USSR. And it started World War II. The fact that they were killing these people and Germany was upset over it had Hitler start World War II to stop them from being able to do it any further. Hitler was basically an anti-Judeo-Bolshevik. He knew it was going on there. He knew that it was detrimental to the world, that it needed to be ended. It has been ended now. But unfortunately, most of the Jews came to the United States, and they're taking over our country. They've infiltrated our universities, our newspapers, etc., to the point where we don't even have a country left. Just like the Soviet Union, we are now an American USSR. And now the Jews are in Congress constantly wanting to have hate crime laws passed so that people can't say anything against immigration or integration or against Israel. There are laws that you can't boycott Israel, that you can't refuse to sell goods to Israel if you're a manufacturer. Well, I thought this was a free country, and that people would be able to sell or buy with whomever they wanted to. But no, the Jews don't want that. They don't want anything fair. Now, they don't want you to trade with Hamas or Hezbollah, but you have to trade with Israel. You see, it always works out that way. These people don't treat anybody fairly. They're the most unfair people you will ever read about in history. And anyone that would take over somebody else's country like the Soviet Union and use the government to kill the people who live there, murder tens of millions of them, these people are scum bums. These are people that you need to watch because they're trying to do the same thing here in America, and history repeats itself if you don't understand what's happened in history. And you Americans, you are in danger from these people. According to one public opinion survey conducted in Russia in 1999, or 1991, for example, most Russians wanted all Jews to leave the country. But precisely why is anti-Jewish sentiment so widespread among the peoples of the former Soviet Union? Why do so many Russians, Ukrainians, Lithuanians, and others blame the Jews for so much misfortune? Although officially Jews have never made up more than 5% of the country's total population, actually I believe it's no more than 0.5% of Russia, they played a highly disproportionate and decisive role in the infant Bolshevik regime. They effectively dominated Soviet governments during its early years, and Soviet historians, along with most of their colleagues in the West for decades, preferred to ignore this subject. The facts, though, cannot be denied. Well, of course, they were ignoring this because the Jews in America owned the Bolshevik press here. Our press is just like in Russia. It's a Bolshevik press because the Judeo-Bolsheviks own our press. We have allowed this to happen to our detriment. This is an affront to our national security, and we've allowed this to happen. It's really disgusting. It's crazy that you'd allow a vicious minority, the same minority that ran the Soviet Union as a killing field, to come here, take over our newspapers, influence our government to do anything that they want, and to sandwich the Constitution in a pincer movement against the soil so that it can't even express itself. Instead, Jewish ideas of dictatorship in America are what our politicians are now preferring because the Jews are giving them their money for their campaigns. And we have been treated as second-class citizens. Our representatives are nothing but Judeo-Bolsheviks now. With the notable exception of Lenin, most of the leading communists who took over control of Russia in 1917 to 1920 were Jews. As a matter of fact, Trotsky said, "Let's let Lenin be. Let's let him take control because he's not Jewish." Well, you know, his grandfather was Jewish. He grew up in a Yiddish household. He was about as Jewish as you could get. You could say that Leon Trotsky wasn't Jewish because he didn't go to synagogues. He was as much an atheist as the rest of these Jews and the Jews that run Wall Street. These are atheist Jews. These are anti-Christian Jews. These are people that hate religion. They consider religion to be the opiate of the people. These are people that only are interested in money and in military and political power. And if they have to kill people to keep it, by God, they will, and they've proven that throughout their history. So we in America are in real trouble with them living here and controlling our country from the top. Leon Trotsky, whose real name was Bronstein, headed the Red Army and for a time was chief of Soviet foreign affairs. Yakov Sverdlov, whose original name was Solomon, obviously Jewish, was both the Bolshevik Party's executive secretary and as chairman of the Executive Central Committee, head of the Soviet government. The Jew Grigory Zinoviev Radomysky headed the Communist Internationale, the central agency for spreading revolution in foreign countries. Other prominent Jews included press commissar Karl Radek, whose name was Sobelson, foreign affairs commissar Maxim Litvinov, whose original Jewish name was Wallach, Lev Kamenev, original Jewish name of Rosenfeld, and Mosai Uritsky. Lenin himself was of mostly Russian and Kalmyk ancestry, but he was also, as I said, one-quarter Jewish. His maternal grandfather, Israel Alexander Blank, was a Ukrainian Jew who was later baptized in the Russian Orthodox Church. A thoroughgoing internationalist, Lenin viewed ethnic or cultural loyalties with contempt. Lenin had little regard for his own countrymen. An intelligent Russian, he once remarked, is almost always a Jew or someone with Jewish blood in his veins. So who do you suppose Lenin respected more, Russians, which people say he was, or Jews, who he says, you know, that every intelligent Russian he knew was almost always a Jew or someone with Jewish blood in his veins? Who do you think he identified with, if not Jews? And all of his supporters were Jews. The Bolsheviks that put him in power were Jews. Of course he was as Jewish as could be. In the communist seizure of power in Russia, the Jewish role was critical. 2 weeks prior to the Bolshevik October Revolution of 1917, Lenin himself convened a top-secret meeting of Jews in St. Petersburg, at which the key leaders of the Bolshevik Party's Central Committee made the fateful decision to seize power in a violent takeover. Of the 12 persons who took part in this decisive gathering, there were 4 Russians, including Lenin, who was really Jewish, 1 Georgian, Stalin, who was really Jewish, 1 Pole, Dzerzhinsky, who was most likely Jewish, and 6 Jews. To direct the takeover, a 7-man political bureau was chosen. The Politburo consisted of 2 Russians, Lenin, who was Jewish, and Bubnov, 1 Georgian, Stalin, who was Jewish and married to a Jew, as was Lenin married to a Jew, 4 Jews, Trotsky, Sokolnikov, Zinoviev, and Kamenev. Meanwhile, the Petersburg Soviet, whose chairman was Trotsky, established an 18-member military revolutionary committee to actually carry out the seizure of power. It included 8 or 9 Russians, 1 Ukrainian, 1 Pole, 1 Caucasian, and 6 Jews. Finally, to supervise the organization of the uprising, the Bolshevik Central Committee established a 5-man revolutionary military center as the party's operations command. It consisted of 1 Russian, Bubnov, 1 Georgian, Stalin, who was married to Jews all his life, 1 Pole, Dzerzhinsky, who was only associated with Jews, and 2 Jews, Sverdlov and Yuritsky. Everywhere you look, folks, in the Soviet Union, it was Jew, Jew, Jew. But when you mention it, they call you anti-Semitic. Well, I would think it would be anti-Semitic if you said the Jews ran it, but they didn't. But if they did run it, which is the truth, and you mention it, you're not anti-Semitic. You're being a historian. You're relating what actually happened. These Jews can't play power politics and run our media, run our medical establishments, run our banks, steal trillions of dollars from the Federal Reserve after they've gambled the money away and lost it. And then they come to us and say, you have to replace this for us. Well, we didn't lose it. I have no need to give them their money back that they lost because they were unwise. They wouldn't give me any money back if I lost it in an unwise way. Why should I give them any money back? What makes them so darn special? So don't let anyone, if you're, you know, telling the truth about what Jews did and what they do, like running the banks, running the newspapers, running all of our media, and ruling our country through donations to our representatives who can't even think of winning an election without lots of Jewish money for advertising. When you mention that and somebody calls you an anti-Semite, tell them to shut up. You know, you can't play power politics with America and with Russia and then turn around and say, oh, you can't mention that we're playing power politics or you'll be an anti-Semite. You can't do that. If you're going to play power politics in America, then by God, everybody in the country has a right as an American to point out exactly what you're doing. And you have no right to call somebody an anti-Semite. But I'll tell you what you Jews are. You're anti-American. You are Judeo-Bolsheviks. You're killers. killers of the white people of Europe when you ran Russia. And you've been filled with wickedness for hundreds of years in terms of the politics that you've had all over Europe and the United States. And you need to be put to account for it, and you need to be deported from these countries so you can't do any more damage to them. You can't take over any more universities. You can't dominate the media, and you can't cause one war after another to be fought for Israel over in the Middle East, costing America trillions of dollars. And eventually we're going to go totally broke as a result of it. So we either get rid of you now or we get rid of you later after you've done this. You know, the Russians let you hang on. Now you're sitting in Brighton Beach eating caviar and laughing about how you got away with it. You people are sick. You Judeo-Bolsheviks are sick. You're killers. And you got by with it. And that's why you have Israel. So if anybody goes after you, you at least have a place to go where you know that they're not going to prosecute you for your evil. Well-informed observers, both inside and outside Russia, took note at the time of the crucial Jewish role in Bolshevism, and Winston Churchill became one of the most outspoken historians, pointing out that the Jews ran the Russia, that they were behind the revolution, and that they were wickedness personified. Wickedness. He called Bolshevism a worldwide Jewish conspiracy for the overthrow of civilization and for the reconstitution of societies based on the basis of arrested development, of envious malevolence and impossible equality. That's Churchill, the greatest World War II historian in our century. And he points his fingers directly at the Jews for their wickedness in Russia. And he was absolutely correct. When you go back to the time when these killings were going on in Russia and when the Red Revolution was going on, David R. Francis in 1918, a United States ambassador in Russia, warned in a letter in 1918 to Washington that the Bolshevik leaders here, most of whom are Jews and 90% of whom are returned exiles, many of them coming from New York City back to Russia, care little for Russia or any other country, but are internationalists, globalists, and they're trying to start a worldwide social revolution. That's what they are here. They're internationalists. They're globalists. They were the ones that told us we could send our factories to China. We could send our factories to Mexico, and this would be good for us. And it would make us a stronger and wealthier nation. And so what happened? We let them send our factories over there. Now we're at a point where we're totally broke. The Bolshevik banks in New York have squandered the money they had through worthless speculation and gambling and lost it all. And then they came to our Congress, who they put in office, and said, you need to pay us trillions of dollars to get us set up again so we can continue to corrupt you and give you more money for your elections next time. Same thing they did in Russia. The Judeo-Bolsheviks of America, many of whom went to Russia to kill people. Killed not only the Tsar and his wife and children, but to kill the Russian people themselves. They killed 65 million of them. They wiped out the Ukraine, Byelorussia. They went up to the Balkan countries of Lithuania and the other ones up there, and began murdering people. The Netherlands ambassador in Russia, Oudendijk, made much the same point a few months later. He wrote, "Unless Bolshevism is nipped in the bud immediately, it is bound to spread in one form or another over Europe and the whole world as it is organized and worked by Jews who have no nationality and whose one object is to destroy for their own ends the existing order of things." That's what the Jews want to do. They want to destroy the existing order of things. They want to transfer the money owned by the non-Jews into the pockets of the Jews through the banking system, and then to impoverish all the other people in the world, so the only wealthy people are the Jews, and they will be able to have anything done in the countries that they live in that they wish, and they will be able to own everything in those countries, just as they do in England and Germany and France. France, where the prime minister is a Jew by the name of Sarkozy, by the way, and in America. The Bolshevik Revolution, declared a leading American Jewish community paper in 1920, was largely the product of Jewish thinking, Jewish discontent, Jewish effort to reconstruct the world. It's a terrible thing, and most people don't even know it. But I'm going to make it my life's work to make sure that everyone in the world knows that the Jews were the Bolsheviks, that the Bolsheviks are the bankers of this world who have impoverished everyone. As an expression of its radically anti-nationalist character, the fledgling Soviet government issued a decree a few months after taking power that made anti-Semitism a crime, which I've mentioned many, many times. The new communist regime became the first in the world to severely punish all expressions of anti-Jewish sentiment. And that's what the Jews want to have happen here now. If you say anything against Israel, they want you to be banned as a hate person. But they're the ones who summarily are spreading hate everywhere. They're the ones who are causing the Islamics to be thought of as radical Islamicist terrorists. They're the ones that are spreading that lie around. Summing up the situation at that time, Israeli historian Louis Rappaport writes, "Immediately after the Bolshevik Revolution, many Jews were euphoric over their high representation in the new government. Lenin's first Politburo was dominated by men of Jewish origins. Under Lenin, who was also of Jewish origins, Jews became involved in all aspects of the revolution, including the very dirtiest work of all. Despite the communist vows to eradicate anti-Semitism, it spread rapidly after the revolution, partly because of the prominence of so many Jews in the hated Soviet administration, with all of its hated laws, with all of its killings, as well as in the traumatic and human Sovietization drives that followed." Historian Salo Baron has noted that an immensely disproportionate number of Jews joined the new Bolshevik secret police, the Cheka, and many of those who fell afoul of the Cheka would be shot by Jewish investigators. The collective leadership that emerged in Lenin's dying days was headed by the Jew Zinoviev, a loquacious, mean-spirited, curly-haired Adonis, whose vanity knew no bounds. "Anyone who had the misfortune to fall into the hands of the Cheka," wrote Jewish historian Leonardo Shapiro, "stood a very good chance of finding himself confronted with, and possibly shot by, a Jewish investigator." Well, that happened to me. I had the Jews come after me. I had Chertoff come after me. The guy who now is in charge of TSA's x-ray machines, and who started Homeland Security and betrayed the people of Katrina, came after me. I tried to help the people of Katrina. He said that I had committed a fraud, but the FBI investigated and found out nothing like that had happened. But he still came after me because he's a Judeo-Bolshevik. And I ran Jewwatch News, and I had outed him and all of his buddies for their Bolshevism. I told the truth. But Bolsheviks don't like that. And just like the Cheka, here comes Mr. Chertoff, whose face looks an awful lot like that of Lenin. In the Ukraine, Jews made up nearly 80% of the rank-and-file Cheka agents. 80%! 80% of the rank-and-file Cheka agents in the Ukraine were Jews. This was reported by Bruce W. Lincoln, an American professor in Russian history. Beginning as the Cheka, or Vcheka, the Soviet secret police was later known as the KGB. In light of all of this, it should be not so surprising that Yakov M. Yurovsky, the leader of the Jewish Bolshevik squad that carried out the murder of the Tsar, and his Christian family, was himself Jewish, as was the Jew Sverdlov, the Soviet chief who co-signed Lenin's execution order. These Jews took it upon themselves to murder a ruling Christian Tsar of Russia and his family. Not just the Tsar, not just the Christian Tsar who wore a crown with a cross on it. No, no, not just him, but his children, his 4 or 5 daughters and his son and his wife. And they killed the daughters with bayonets, a very cruel death. And then they took the bodies of these people so that no one could show them any worship, and they hid them in the forest, in a wet area of a forest where they could never be found again. Although fortunately they were found, and the Russians gave them a state funeral worthy of a Tsar and his family. And these Jews didn't want that. These vicious Jews killed these innocent Christians, these girls, and this little son, Alexei, you know, who did nothing wrong, and the Tsar's wife, who did nothing wrong, and the Tsar himself did nothing wrong. But the Jews did a lot that was wrong. They were evil, and they need to be punished for what they did. And they need to pay reparations for what they did to the Soviet Union, and reparations for what they've done to the United States, especially recently when they stole these trillions of dollars into their Bolshevik banks in New York. Igor Shaferovich, a Russian mathematician, sharply criticized the Jewish role in bringing down the Romanov monarchy, killing the Christian family of Tsars, who had always worked to preserve Christianity, and establishing an atheist Jewish communist rule in this country. Shafarovich was a leading dissident during the final decades of Soviet rule. He was a prominent human rights activist, a founding member of the Committee on the Defense of Human Rights in the USSR. So there you have it. There you have it. The Judeo-Bolshevik Soviet Union and all of the killing of 65 million Christians in that nation that had the misfortune of coming under the Jewish heel of the bankers in New York, many of whom took ships there. They had fled to America, and they fled back to Russia to kill off the Russians, to kill them out in the most vicious way possible. And now they're running the United States again from New York, from their Bolshevik high places in New York, where they stroke the money pot of false fake dollars, destroy the American economy, and then have the audacity to tell us that we're going to pay them for what they lost when they gambled it away. And we had absolutely nothing to do with that. But they did. I'm sick of this, folks. I think it's time for these Jews to go. We're playing with fire by allowing them to live here, and the Russians allowed them to live in Russia. They even made it possible for them to vote in Russia, and they immediately killed one of the Tsars in 1850 or 1860, Tsar Alexander II. And then they came after the Romanovs. These people are not to be trusted. These are evil, vile Bolshevik people. These are the people that gave our atomic secrets to the Russians, right there from their Bolshevik perch in New York City, where they've always lived. At the present day, these Bolsheviks have hundreds of Mossad spies in the United States, many of them working inside the CIA and the State Department. Traitors to America. People who are loyal to the Bolshevik Zionist Empire in the Middle East. The people who have used fake information from the CIA to push the United States into unwise wars in the Middle East and to cause us to lose a fortune, to destroy our economy, and to push the Bolshevik banks in New York as the most wonderful thing in society, when in fact it's one of the most hostile organizations that has been anti-American in our history. These Bolsheviks in New York are going to continue to destroy our money system until we collapse, because we have to collapse for them to be able to secure their new world order in the United Nations, where they will rule us either from the top under their Jewish names, or they will have others whose arms and legs are attached to strings pulled by the Jews, just as the Congress today has their arms and legs attached to strings pulled by the Jewish puppeteers, telling them exactly what they want them to do in order to be able to get money from them for their next campaign. Well, these are very, very, very hectic days. Very dangerous days. Days in which we may become the new victims of this Bolshevism that has risen to the forefront in our nation and that needs to be stopped. The Bolsheviks in New York who drive up to Brighton Beach to talk with their Soviet counterparts and who are doing the same thing here to us today, they need to be deported. They need to be removed from our country as a threat to our national security, so that we may be safe from them, so that we do not have to worry about them coming into our homes with pistols as they did in the Soviet Union, taking us outside of our cities, shooting us in the back of our necks, and burying us where we'll never be found again, never to be heard of again, and owning the courts, which are stuffed with Jews right now. I mean, look at the Supreme Court. They have 33.5% of the Supreme Court are now Bolsheviks. You've got Berger, Kagan, and you've got Ginsburg. Three Bolsheviks, three Judeo-Bolsheviks, in a court of only 9 people. And they only represent 2 or 3% of the nation, so they shouldn't have a single member on the Supreme Court based on their lack of numbers here in the United States. They don't represent anybody except Bolshevism, because they are Bolsheviks. And now every law that is reviewed by them will be tainted by this Bolshevik gaze that they have. It's a truly disgusting situation, ladies and gentlemen, and it needs to be ended before we too are killed by their vicious militarist leaders. I hope that what I have said today will frighten you to death, that you will know now that these Bolsheviks, these bankers, mean business. They don't care about you. They just as soon kill you as kill a Russian. And they've shown that they have no regard for freedom, no regard for justice. Their only regard is that they run the entire world, and that no one else has any power whatsoever, so that they may institute this new world order. They already control your newspapers. They control your businesses. They've sent your jobs out to China, which they're trying to control right now as well. They control everything in this world they can get their fingers on. And the means for their control is money. And they own the banking system in all the countries. And all these countries print their own money. And as they print it, it's given out by the Jews, who make sure that enough of the money sticks to their fingers so that they own everything in that country that's worth owning. And everything certainly that involves media, propagandizing of the people, and control of the government itself. I'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very, very happy Judeo-Bolshevism.